The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm not sure how it's possible, but today is the fourth Sunday of Easter already. Christ is risen. You're getting the hang of it. In all 3 years of our lectionary, that cycle of scripture readings we hear on Sunday mornings, the fourth Sunday of Easter is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Our psalm on this Sunday is always the 23rd psalm, and you heard the choir sing an arrangement of that. Those comforting words about green pastures and restored souls and goodness and mercy, words which are recognized by almost everybody, even folks without much of a connection to the community of God's people. Along with Psalm 23, our gospel on this Sunday of Easter each year is always from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, either verses 1 through 10 in year A of the lectionary, or 22 through 30 in year C, or the verses you heard a few moments ago, 11 through 18. Like the appointed psalm, the entire 10th chapter of John, and thus all three of those readings, is rich with shepherding imagery, which is great if shepherding imagery means anything to you. I mean, we are 21st century Americans. While we Carlinians, or whatever we would be called in Carlisle, may live in a rural adjacent area. I mean, there's a decent amount of country around our borough, farmland, wonderful forests, including some state game lands, the orchards of nearby Adams County. But sheep and related topics are not typically top of mind for us. The last time I gave any thought to those woolly creatures was when I heard about Fiona, Britain's loneliest sheep. Any of you hear this story? It was a few months ago. Apparently, at some point, as a very young lamb, Fiona went astray down a precarious cliff and became stranded along a riverbank. A kayaker saw her last fall, posted pictures of Fiona wandering all alone and weighed down by a couple of years' worth of wool growth, and the internet went to work. Several very compassionate shepherds responded to the call for help and mounted an impressive rescue effort. Fiona was finally winched up the cliff, sheared of 20 pounds or so of dirty, matted wool, and she's now living the dream at a Scottish farm where she has become something of a celebrity. Now, unless you happen to hear or read about Fiona's dramatic story, I suspect you haven't given one thought to shepherds or sheep since maybe Christmas Eve, when we heard about shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night and how angels announce good news of great joy to them, and with haste the shepherds go to see this thing that has taken place. And at least as depicted in our carols and cards and creches, they end up gathered with their sheep and other farm animals around baby Jesus, adoring him. Now, while we might be a bit disconnected from the imagery Jesus uses here, perhaps even a little sentimental about it, Jesus' original audience certainly wouldn't have been. As soon as those words came out of Jesus' mouth, "I am the good shepherd," people would have started thinking about the men they'd see wandering the countryside with their little herds of sheep. They'd picture someone caring for the animals morning, noon, and night, in good weather and in bad. They'd see in their minds a dusty, dirty figure walking ahead of his flock, calling out to his lambs by name, knowing every single one of them. Their personalities, whether they tended to follow obediently or go astray like Fiona did, as he led them around to grazing grounds and to water. And the people listening to Jesus would know how a shepherd picked burrs and twigs out of his animals' wool, tenderly rubbed salve on their sores, helped with difficult births, did everything possible to keep the herd free from parasites and pests. And they'd know. Maybe they'd even seen for themselves how when night came or a storm was brewing, the shepherd would find a safe place for his sheep, often a pen made out of stones. And after they were all settled in there, he'd lay himself down in the opening to the pen for the duration. The shepherd put himself between all of the dangers and threats out there, the bandits and thieves and wolves, and the animals tucked in behind him. The shepherd literally laid down his life to protect them from harm. This is the image the Gospel of John draws on today. Not so much the romanticized picture we have of Jesus the Good Shepherd, the one depicted in children's Bibles and in stained glass windows like the one we have back there, pictures of Jesus that are painted and colored with crayons during Bible school, Jesus with a little sweet, clean, fluffy lamb draped around his neck, or held gently in his arms, or sitting contentedly on his lap. That's certainly a comforting picture in a lot of ways, but it's not really enough for a world like the one we live in. We need the Jesus who lays down his life for us, the Jesus who is not a flight risk when threats are near, the Jesus who is willing to stay with us even when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We need this Jesus when the bandit illness comes, bringing cancer or Alzheimer's or heart failure or crippling depression. We need this Jesus when the thief, death, stalks us, when our child dies in an accident, when our best friend loses her battle with a brain tumor, when we stand at yet another graveside. We need this Jesus when the wolf, despair, circles around us. When we hear on the news about another mass shooting, or protesting American college students chanting for people's deaths, or countries firing missiles at one another. We need the Jesus who promises us that none of these things will have the final say, that none of these things will win the final battle. We need the Jesus whose resurrection we are still celebrating this Good Shepherd Sunday, the Jesus who laid down his life for the sheep and who rose victorious over sin and death on Easter morning, who is with us always, promising that we have nothing left to fear. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.